This is Cultivating Indigenous Voices, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew. And I'm here with Anna Marie Stevens. Thanks for coming into the studio today to share your story, Anna. So if you could please share with the listening audience who you are, where you're from, and where did you grow up?
Skiktash, Anyubanjigig Anna Marie Stevens. I am a member of the Thanaotham Nation. I am from a community of Thakalodi in the Chikakuk District on the Thanaotham Nation. I grew up mainly in cells. I have three brothers. I have one older brother and one older sister and two younger brothers, and then my parents. I grew up on the nation, and to be honest, I always tell people this, like, I didn't take high school very seriously. I was a rebellious teenager. I went away to school at St. Catharines in New Mexico, and the experience there wasn't great, mainly because I wasn't used to having rules. And when I was at this Catholic school, we had a lot of rules. And then later on in life, I actually was a high school dropout and became a teenage parent. And during that time, I came to Tucson so that I could finish school. My girl's dad at that time was working here, so it also gave me an opportunity for me to finish school here in Tucson, and it really helped shape me completing and continuing my education, because I finally realized, like, I need to take my education seriously after I had my daughters. And I always tell my daughters this, if I didn't have them, that I probably would be dead on the streets or in jail.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing your background. But considering that, you know, education in school wasn't a top priority for you at a young age, but the fact that what you're doing now in your job, so if you could share, what is your current job title?
My current job title, I work for the American Indian College Fund as the Career Readiness and Employment Program Administrator for Student Programs. I am new to this position. I've been in this position, this week would be 2 months. Prior to that, I worked for Thanaotham Community College in different capacities, but prior to that, it was the transition coordinator. I overseen helping students transition from TOC to universities and just getting them connected to resources. And then I also ran a grant that had to do with getting students prepared going to college, and it was called A Student's Journey.
Awesome. Wow. So for those who are not familiar with what the American Indian College Fund, can you explain what the mission is?
The mission of the College Fund is to invest in Native students, tribal college education to transform lives and the communities. By doing that, it's providing opportunities for scholarships and also funding for other resources.
Absolutely. And I can attest to that. When I was in college, American Indian College Fund was a financial resource that I actually depended on during my time in college. So absolutely thankful to those individuals who do give to the fund, because it really does help students in the Native Indigenous communities. So going back to the career readiness and employment as your current position, but also you talked a little bit about your past position at Thanaotham Community College. What are your goals in your new position?
So in my position, I work as the career readiness area team. But basically what we do in our area is to provide opportunities for students to be able to get funding for scholarships, but also focus in on career development and how can we help them by providing programming for them. So my job is to look at how can we provide that programming. Some of our programs, our scholarship programs that we oversee, are high intensity programming, and some of them are not. And so for those that are high intensity, I have to work with donors, and they might have requirements for them to do. And then there's also components for me to interject and include career readiness aspects of it. So just recently, we actually held my first workshop. It was called A Potter's Journey. And then we had Kathy Vance come in and speak about her journey of becoming a master potter, her experience on getting a fellowship and getting an apprenticeship to work underneath her. But she also talked a lot about reciprocity and how reciprocity plays a big part in her journey, because who her mentors were, it's her giving back to the community and what she provided, and then what it actually helped her do is be a better parent and or like getting prepared and giving back to her daughter. And she talked a lot about her daughter's experience. And I think it was a really great story to talk about those, because as parents, we want to make sure that we're providing these opportunities for our children and how can we invest in them. And I think when you have that self-identity of being an indigenous from an indigenous community, but also a woman in an indigenous community, and how can we help people grow and foster a successful career. And it was geared for those students who are underneath our program. So I oversee currently about 6 different scholarship programs, and they vary from anybody who's engineering to somebody who's into environmental science to somebody who's like in an apprenticeship program. We just recently released a grant called Student Professional Development Grant. And that grant is geared for students, for any of the scholars that are under American Indian College Fund, to get an opportunity to apply for a grant for them to gain professional experience. And they could use that funding for either their salary or attending a workshop or attending a conference, submitting a proposal in a budget. So to me, that like in the past 2 weeks, that's been a lot of my time looking at these amazing students. I think we had like 33 students who submitted proposals, and reading all of those about what they're doing, what they plan on doing in their community, how it's going to help their community, what kind of research they're going to do. And I was telling my husband when I was reading these and going through all these applications, I'm like, man, it's inspiring to sit here and read all these students' ideas of what they can do in their community.
That is amazing to have a first glance at the current and future generations, where their minds are at, what they're thinking, whether it's big or small, and the efforts that they're putting into the work that they believe in. And I feel like that's a really great component. I feel the two definitely go hand in hand when it comes to getting ready for your career. Once you're getting close to finishing college, what is the next step in the next phase? You work so hard to get these degrees, and where can you apply it? But again, even starting prior to graduating, it's important to get any kind of professional or hands-on experience. So a lot of your work, do you travel a lot with the position? I believe you mentioned you work remotely.
Overall, like my job, it does require a lot of traveling. My first day was orientation. My second day was traveling to Walt Disney World. And it was a great experience, and I couldn't believe that it was happening. I was just like, wow, this is happening to me. But the opportunity happened because we have funding from Disney to fund scholars, and they wanted scholars to take an opportunity for them to learn about their internship program and be a part of their internship program in the summertime, because over the years they've been funding, but they never had somebody from our program take advantage of being an intern there. So we had taken 4 students there, and it was a really great experience of the back doors of Walt Disney, seeing the background of different exhibits. And most of our program was based on sustainability, because the 4 scholars that went were all environmental students, and there are environmental studies. And so we learned about the land in Epcot, and the land they have, like how they cultivate plants, how they're growing them, the agriculture component and different components. And it was a really great opportunity to see that. So, and then just the opportunity to go visit rides and explore the campus and learn from the university campus, which was a great opportunity. I was sharing with people after I went there, the first night we watched fireworks. And while I was standing there, I was trying to record it. I'm like, no, I'm just going to take it in. And so I was, while I was watching it, I was trying to get misty eyed. And I was like standing there reflecting on like, how in the world did I end up in this position and having this wonderful opportunity of being here, and what my life path was of being a high school dropout, you know, and I struggled going to school, the University of Arizona, but I eventually made it through. And you know, just my path in education, but also just my path in life. Because, you know, I always tell people, like, I made tons of mistakes growing up. And I said, but I picked myself up, and you learn to be resilient. But so, like, I was thinking about my path. And then I was thinking about the students that we were with, and, like, thinking about their experience. we went back to our hotel and they started sharing, like, that's exactly what we were all thinking. And everybody was saying, like, they were feeling, like, misty-eyed, or they were even crying because, like, they couldn't believe that this opportunity had fallen on our laps. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Wow. It's great that you had the opportunity to just be right along with them right there, you know, even though you're in your role and in your position. But the fact that you can connect with the students because you all had the same feeling is pretty amazing. Didn't you also attend NAU, Northern Arizona University?
I did. I actually did. So I work for TOCC, and TOCC actually provided professional development funding. We had a cohort of our staff that went back to school. We started out with 7 students, and by the time we finished, there was 3 of us who graduated. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity. And I tell people this because if there's ever an opportunity for your school or wherever organization you work for is going to give you this opportunity to go to school, take advantage of it. And eventually it was great because my experience in my master's program was completely different from my bachelor's degree. Like when I went through my bachelor's degree, I was broke. I was barely surviving. I wasn't doing great. I was barely passed. And if I always tell people, if you see pictures of me when I graduated from U of A, you can tell I'm stressed out and I'm not happy, but I did it, you know. And then compared to when I got my master's degree, where I wasn't broke, I was working full time, my supervisor supported me, I had funding, we did it as a cohort. And because I did it as a cohort, it was helpful. And like, we were able to work with one another and work off each other's strengths.
Cool. That's amazing. I didn't know that part. I just knew that you had graduated from there. Well, that's awesome. So with American Indian College Fund, what are the requirements for applying?
So in order to be eligible for American Indian College Fund, they do have strict deadlines. And currently we do have our application open for the fall and spring of next semester. Usually you have to write a letter, you have to fill out the application. There is an online portal, and it is for American Native and Alaska Native students who are enrolled in a certificate or undergrad or graduate program at a tribal college and university, a nonprofit or accredited institution. And I would recommend students start looking at this process now and figuring out what needs to get done. A lot of this is asking you questions about yourself and how can this be beneficial to you? Thinking about your own experience, do you remember what it was when you applied, the questions they asked you?
I don't remember the questions, but I remember the letter, like the hardship letter, or just speaking your truth about your struggles and how financially this could help support you as a student and where you would apply the funding with schooling and, you know, just how this funding could help you make it through another semester in your educational journey. So that's the main thing that I do remember with when I did apply for the funding. What are some of the challenges that exist in trying to apply? Like, example, I know some college funds that are specific to Native Indigenous. You have to be from a federally recognized tribe, but, you know, there are Native Indigenous students who unfortunately have to deal with that as a barrier, I guess, when they do come from a tribe that is not federally recognized. Is that a challenge that students tend to face?
Yes, I would definitely say yes. Like I mentioned, even in my short time of being at American Indian College One, I've definitely gotten that question a few times. And I had to find that information out, and telling somebody that is difficult. I know I had someone who had applied who was Indigenous from a different country, and we weren't able to help assist that student. even though this person was going to a tribal college or university. But because of that, we couldn't help the students. And we just tried to direct them to other sources in regards to like what major they're going to. Well, these are other scholarships you could possibly apply for, other organizations you could, you know, just recommendations. And it's not easy telling somebody you're not able to assist them, but those are the challenges that come with working in this position.
Yeah, that definitely is a challenge that actually has existed for Native students who do come from an unfederally recognized tribe. They've been dealing with this obstacle for decades. And it's too bad that, unfortunately, because of that reason, they don't qualify for financial assistance that are specifically designed for Native students. And not only that, but they also have to face, whether it's university or college or even a tribal college, but they also have to face that obstacle of not being eligible for tuition waiver programs at universities or at colleges that help reduce or even eliminate costs for students who belong to federally recognized tribes. They don't have that privilege, unfortunately, because they do come from an unfederally recognized tribe. Yeah, I just hope that one day that they could also benefit from those types of financial resources and support. Thanks, Anna Marie, for sharing your perspective and experience of having to tell the students that information, but I'm sure also doing your best to assist them in other ways, provide them with other opportunities and information for funding programs and support. So, what are some tips that you have for career readiness?
One of the biggest thing I want to say for career readiness is finding something that is going to help you grow professionally, that's going to help you learn what you need to learn when you're in a certain career field. And like I had mentioned, we have these grants that are opportunities for students to have that and get that experience. Because what I had seen is students go to school and like get a degree and not having that experience and then actually getting out into the workforce and then realizing like, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. And so if you have opportunities to do internships, to do practicums or anything like that, take advantage of those things because those are stepping stones to help you explore different careers. Some of the things that in our department for career readiness and employment is looking at the 6 R's, and the 6 R's are huge, is like getting yourself centered in relation to who you are as an individual. And those 6 R's are respect, responsibility, reciprocity, relationship, reflection, and redistribution. And thinking about those 6 areas in regards to what we provide are huge. And how are we doing that? And how are we making our students think about that? Like, how are we thinking about giving them opportunities to learn how to think about their environment? How can you be respectful to your environment? And this is just an example. To be a responsible person in regards to being a scholar and like being in a career, you're responsible for getting yourself there, getting your work done, but also being responsible to people that are in your community. And thinking about the reciprocity thing, that's huge. I think for any Native community is thinking about our culture and how we are trying to have this deeper understanding of generosity and our environments and just different things like that. I think it's really important. As also in relationships, I think, how are we sustaining those relationships? What are we doing to cultivate positive relationships, to strengthen long-term relationships? I think those are things that are really important to consider when you're moving. And then thinking about your reflection of all those things and how am I doing those things? Reflection in your own life and how can I be helpful to somebody? How can I become a mentor? If you're going to be a mentor, like what am I doing? And then also just redistribution, like sharing your knowledge. I think it's huge. I think it's really huge that you need to learn how to being humble. I think that's something that's you need to make sure that you do. And when you're humble, how are you redistributing that to your community? And remembering that you come from this community, and how are you going to help them in regards to what you learn, like how are you going to share that with your community and what are you going to do to provide back to your community? And those are things that are really important. But also, I think one of the biggest things that we focus on as far as like career is getting them, like getting opportunities for students to learn about academic programs and jobs. What careers can they go into if they're going to these certain things? Because, yeah, sometimes students, they think about like what I'm going to go to school for. But there are also things like, you know, sometimes it's broad. And then you have to like break it down to like, well, these are the your options. These are things that you can go into. And you never thought about like, well, maybe I never thought I could do that. You know, I never thought I could. Thinking about this, because I just recently went to Navajo Technical University and they have this course of where they do engineering. And they said they kind of do it as a broad range of engineering because they want everybody to kind of learn every aspect of engineering. And then they kind of determine like what path they're going into. And then they're like, because sometimes they just don't know, like, well, these are the type of engineering programs we have. So thinking about that, a huge thing is growing your network. I think having a huge network definitely helps. Take the opportunity to mingle with people, get to know different people, because those people become a great support mechanism for you in the future. It can be like a reference. They can also help you find a job, can also be like write you reference letters. It just opens up so many opportunities. And I think networking is huge in relation to just moving forward in your career. And then thinking about Native focused degrees and programs. That's a huge thing that we're trying to push.
Yeah.
And like making sure that students have that understanding. And then also institutions and centers that have a Native focus. That's one of the big things that we push for. And thinking about tribal colleges and universities, because they're huge resources. They're huge resources. You're a product of a tribal community college, including mm-hmm. myself. I may have not graduated from one, but I did take courses there. I worked there for years. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many positive things that come out of being a part of a tribal community college. It's amazing to see the students that you worked with in the past, including yourself, doing these great things in our community and working with people and working with their communities and how they can give back. So I really like to highlight like the alumni or people who are out there doing the work. And then just your future planning, like how can we help as far as like in the future? What are we doing? What do you plan on doing? How can we be a resource for that? So on our website, we do have a direct link on here for career readiness. And there's a number of things in there, all those things that I had listed in relations to like employment resources,
okay,
career advising,
awesome.
Developing your skills. And then also we do have Connect, which is just connecting and looking at different resources that are available. We have other resources that you could look into. Mm-hmm. Every student has access to that. Even now, like if you're not a student, those are resources that you could utilize.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Well, I'll definitely have to get the link and share it in the description so that folks can go to the webpage and click on that link to see those resources.
Yeah, I would also say take the time, I think, to make sure that you're adding to your resume, your CV, whatever it may be. Work with your career readiness person on campus. I would also say work with the librarian if you don't have anybody in there, or a mentor on your campus to help you go through that. Take advantage of resume writing, professional development, interviewing skills. Those things are important to make sure to help you get prepared for the next step. And then one of the biggest things I would have to say is just keep updating that information. Take advantage of those opportunities and think about it in a way. A lot of times students, especially Native students, don't think about, well, I've never worked. But if you grew up on a ranch or you grew up doing hard labor or taking care of somebody or being a babysitter, those are things that you're doing. So think about it in that capacity of like, well, I watched like five kids. So you can say I can manage 5 children, you know, I could think about how that could be a resource for you, and thinking about what you know in regards to, like, if you worked on a ranch or if you worked on a farm, you know things that other students probably wouldn't know. Like, you paid attention to, like, the soil, you paid attention to the weather, you understood, pesticides and different things like that, or like pests that come here and that have an impact on your crops. So those are things just to keep in mind, because a lot of times students don't take that as experience. They think like a job is something that's an experience. But if you have life experience, those things actually speak louder, I think, and just keeping that in mind.
Great, great information. Thank you so much, Anna, for being here. But as we're going to be wrapping up the interview, do you have any last thoughts or comments or even shout outs that you would like to share?
For sure. I think for me, I want to shout out to TOCC for giving me the opportunity to grow and learn over the years. All those opportunities shaped me to the person who I am today in relation to working with students. And I honestly know for myself, and I tell people this all the time, my passion is working with students. I enjoy it. I want to make sure that I'm providing opportunities for students that I didn't have, and how can I be a resource to them to help make their transition or their process of going to college, or even not even college, but if they're going into a career, how can I help them? If they're going to a trade school, how can I be helpful to help them on their journey? And I think that's a huge thing for me. I also want to put a plug in for my program that I ran when I was at TOCC, which is called the Student's Journey. I did that for 4 years. I want to say that was probably the most rewarding job that I did have while being at TOCC, because I could see those students who were transitioning out and helping them move on to universities and getting them connected to resources. So what we did was we had a partnership with the University of Arizona to run a year-long program, and which started in the fall of recruitment. And then in the spring, we had workshops on environmental issues, environmental health issues, social justice issues. And then by May, we started getting them prepared to go to University of Arizona, because in July, they would be on campus for 5 weeks. And for those 5 weeks, they would take a course, they would live on campus, either that would be in the dorm. We did have students who were non-traditional, who either had kids, so we would find Airbnbs for them. And then they would be in an internship for 4 weeks. And so over the years, we've seen students who have transferred from TOCC to the university increase. It wasn't a requirement to go to University of Arizona, but the majority of them did do.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Anna Marie, for being on Cultivating Indigenous Voices, for sharing your story, for sharing your knowledge. And you definitely shared a lot of helpful tips during this interview. But thank you so much for stopping by the studio to share your story.
Thank you so much.
You are listening to Cultivating Indigenous Voices, featuring Anna Marie Stevens, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew. To hear more episodes, go to kxei.org.